Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Lance Zierlein. And live from Astros Spring Training in West Palm Beach in Florida, presented by Texas Citizens Bank, here's John Granato.
Welcome in, everybody. As the man told you excitedly, he's more excited about me being here at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches than Lance being in studio right now. And deservedly so. Lance, what's going on? No, you're doing something.
Can you hear me now? There it is.
Yes.
Yes, the man clearly is. I don't think there's any doubt about it right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's a beautiful morning, about 80 degrees, and the dude is just soaking the infield right now here at the ballpark?
You and I are different on that one. 80 degrees in February doesn't do anything for me. You lived in Chicago where there were more. You had to shovel snow, or you started your own business at Odd Jobs Incorporated, chipping ice off of old ladies', you know, windows or whatever you did. But 80, I know what's around the corner, and I like to stave it off as long as possible. In 80, that magic 8 number just lets me know, oh, it's coming. When summer is coming. It's like a game. Why don't they do a Game of Thrones where it says summer is coming, where people have so much humidity that wildlings are falling out?
Because everybody loves summer. That's why. Because you can play golf. You can't play golf with the wildlings, okay? You ever see them with a golf club? No. That's why.
Clubs.
Yeah, clubs, but not golf clubs.
I don't think everyone loves summer. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, that's you. Okay, 80, it's perfect.
Some people don't play golf.
Well, you don't. That's on you. Okay, that's a person. That sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
It's not a. Golf takes time. Golf takes money. Golf takes talent.
No,
well, it doesn't necessarily.
Not necessarily.
That doesn't necessarily take
you,
talent.
Well, it takes time. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, and if you'd stop, you know, having spitting out kids every 2 weeks, then maybe you could play golf. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't spit one out for 7 years.
Look at you.
I know.
All restrained.
I got tired of hitting reset on my retirement. Like hitting a snooze button on retirement. Damn it.
Oh, dude, wait till they all. And you're going to have like six in college at the same time.
Oh, I've already told them. I said, y'all better start working. You better start working side jobs, cutting yards or something, because you're not going to school.
No.
By the time they're ready, college will be like $90,000 a year, you know. I'm sure somebody will give us some amazing, you know, some amazing tax breaks to take up for this $100,000 a year college. I'm just like, look, I'm just going to tell y'all the secret. College is kind of BS. Y'all need it. I mean, I hate to tell you, break it to you, but what are you going to get, your bachelor's in something? Oh, I got a bachelor's. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Now I got to get a master's. I got to get a doctorate. Nope.
That's the equivalent of our parents' eighth grade education.
I know.
Right? Right.
Only
everybody got an eighth grade.
They didn't have to pay like $150,000 to $200,000 for it.
Right. Oh, $150,000 to $200,000. Stop.
What?
That's high school in Houston. That's a private high school in Houston.
What?
$200,000. Yeah.
$200,000.
Dude, it's stupid. Stupid out there. Okay? And if they go, Alec is smart, he's going to a good school. Guess what?
No, we're dumbing him down.
I got a big picture of your wife saying, listen, I don't. That's what my mom told me when I was, why do you want to go to college? You could ride on the beer truck.
I mean, mom's had, my Duke had the idea.
Yeah.
That's what you got to say. I mean, I'm going to tell my kids, I'm like, look, man, I'm going to tell you. Right now, I wish one of my kids would learn how to code. You don't have to go to, I would like to go to school to learn, to study English. Of course, my kids are not, you know, they're not high achievers. Like, they don't. They'll do their work, but they're not out there trying to, I just want to become the most intelligent person and the most learned person I can. I don't have to worry about that. That's not a problem.
Hey, let's reset this thing because nobody can hear me on the stream.
Okay, go ahead.
So let me reset this. Let's take a quick break. They'll move that, push that. Chris Davinsky is coming up. I want to make sure that everybody can hear. So let's do that. Right. Let's take a quick break. I'll reset this system here. And we'll be back.
Well, I'll just take over this segment. You just reset. I'll still be here. All right, 7:04. Well, pull the curtain back. We just have to reset so you can get the sound on the stream for those of you listening on the stream. So if you're listening on the stream, we got you. John will be back here in just a second. He's going to reset that. Chris Davinsky is going to join us there from the beaches of the world or whatever they call that place where John is.
Yeah, what's the name of it? The ballpark at
West Palm Beaches West Beaches or the beaches of Palm Bay.
At one point, the ballparks at West Palm Beach, and then it became the ballpark at West Palm Beaches.
Yep, and then they've changed the branding on it because it's very important to have it branded properly, and John is gonna be there and bring us Devo. We'll see who else he gets along the way. Do want to let you guys know that if you want to jump in, if you want to call, we will get you in at 713-780-3776. We can try to work you in with Devo if you want, but one of the best ways to hit us up, you can do that on Twitter at DellV2 at Lance. Because if you're gonna say something about Dell, you need to add him. He's very strict on that policy.
Yeah, someone sent something to you over the weekend. And
they didn't at you.
You told them, hey, this is Dell. You want to talk to me? Ask me what exactly I did other than to keep John in check. Well, that is my primary focus on this on this block.
Well, people also think you're at Black Dell.
No.
Which is a fake account.
He said there are so many of me
burner
out there.
Accounts, burner
account. I don't have a burner account.
That's not true.
There's one listener.
Yeah, that's KD. Not true. There he is.
So, see if
so
they
as
can...
you were saying...
Go ahead, John.
As you were saying, John...
What I was, as I was saying, can they hear me on the stream now?
Probably.
No, they cannot. You might. No, John is still he can't be heard on the stream for whatever reason. So we're still going to try to figure that out. Hopefully we'll get that figured out. But I don't have a burner account.
Yeah,
I have
that's
one.
What I'm saying.
I have one DellV2.
Well, I've got one that's not a burner account. It's SEC guy.
And you don't use that one anymore.
It's very rarely. After the national championship game when Alabama beat Georgia. I used it a little bit, but Twitter, I just know that Twitter's lurking for me, just waiting. Like, Twitter is a group when they have their meetings. I feel like we should create a character called Twitter and let Twitter respond to things. Like, put a voice on Twitter. Just Twitter should sound like something.
Do you have an impression of what Twitter should sound like?
No, I don't have a feeling yet, but... Maybe we could get our friend from Chicago, Jacko Jackowitz, and have him take a stab at Twitter. Because I feel like, because you know, Twitter made Fergie apologize. Fergie apologized for her rendition of the national anthem, and I felt so bad for her. My son, Alec, goes, hey, Dad, everyone was talking about Fergie, and apparently it's a really big deal on Twitter, and I'm working hard to make sure my kids never sign up for a Twitter account. Be Snapchat, be Instagram.
Yeah, because Snapchat disappears, and let's see if we have John back here.
Yeah, because nobody ever gets in trouble from Instagram or Snapchat, right? That
well,
never happens.
No, but how – I mean, they can from Instagram, but I don't want the – like, if you don't do stuff, bad stuff, you won't get in trouble. But
Your kids won't ever do bad stuff. That's great.
Well, but here's my thing. So my kids are not typically troublemakers yet, but you don't have to do anything to get in trouble on Twitter. You can have a sad feeling and a sad life just by being on Twitter and reading it. You don't even
right,
have
I
it
understand.
Comes to
Chris
you.
Chris Davinsky is here laughing at you and thinking that your kids won't. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Chris Davinsky with us here live from the ballpark of the Palm Beaches. Are you on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat?
Yeah, I am, but I don't post as much on Twitter. I just read the funny stuff.
That's what I'm saying, though. You can't do that stuff on Twitter because Twitter will try to hurt you.
Did Twitter ever try to hurt your feelings?
I don't think so.
Oh, no,
I
mean, Chris.
You can't have hurt feelings, man.
Devo, Twitter has tried to hurt your feelings before. They try to hurt
all
of our feelings.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day, and you know, you can't let it affect you.
You could have 12 straight good outings and give up a run,
still,
and Twitter will destroy you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll still try to get you.
So do you not read your ats? Do you, your notifications or what?
I guess I can feel if it's going to be a good one or a bad one before I look at it. So I try to read all the good ones.
It takes
so
do you,
have you blocked anyone?
Oh, of course.
You block people.
Yeah.
Well, people who are negative. Yeah. I mean,
I don't need negative in my life.
No. Why would you want negative in your life?
Exactly.
Right. Now, what do people think of that beard you got going right there?
They like it.
Do people like it?
Yeah.
Devo's got a beard?
Yeah, most importantly, I like it.
Okay, I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to tweet it.
I want to see what it looks like.
I'm going to tweet it, Devo's beard. Is this a personal decision or are we going to do this as a team? What's going to go on?
For me, it was just personal, yeah.
Yeah, and what made you decide one day?
I just wanted to see how I looked with a beard. You know, I felt like I could grow one, and, you know, here it is, making its way naturally.
Did it land, Devo? Because I've got one of these that if I tried to, I'm going to have patches where it just doesn't feel like it lands.
That's what it was. Like, the first, like, couple stages for me is completely patch, and that's the tough part, you know. And then finally I had a little breakthrough where, you know, I could see some of those patches getting covered up. So.
Did you eat more protein? What did you do for your breakthrough?
I think I put a lot of coconut oil in it.
You put coconut. That secret is coconut. Okay, everybody. Yeah. Devo's new beard. I'm tweeting it right now, so go to my Twitter account. This will give you superhuman powers, I imagine, right?
Of course.
What's the coolest? I've been asking everybody, what's the coolest thing that happened after the World Series to you?
I think the coolest thing probably was I went to a SmackDown Live show in San Diego with my buddy and his son, and we had some pretty good seats, probably, you know, probably like 20 rows deep, and, you know, getting ready for the show, really excited, and I sent Josh Reddick a text and, you know, showed him where I was at, and he goes, man, you should have hit me up earlier. I could have got you the front row seats. And I go, oh, you know, it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. My buddy just invited me that day, so we ended up going. And after that, he sent me a message back saying, hey, there's going to be a guy in a suit looking for you. Don't attack him. So I'm all right. I'm looking for this guy in a suit, and he has ringside tickets. So I got to, you know, experience the firsthand front row live of SmackDown. And it was pretty intense. And, you know, to see what these guys do and how athletic they are and, you know, everybody cheering and going crazy was pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, the word is that Gronk thinks he's going to get out of football because it's too hard on his body. Wait till he gets into wrestling. I mean, now, he's done it, but he ain't going to do it like, you know, like an hour and a half show, I would imagine. But still, if he thinks that ain't physical, guess what?
Oh, he's got something coming because, yeah, those guys flying and stuff, that's really, really athletic moves that those guys are doing.
So what's your Twitter account, by the way, for everybody that's out there? By the way, we welcome in the stream because it's working now. What's your tweet?
It's 3 Ds, 3 Es, 3 Vs, and 4 Os, I believe.
No, what now? How did you come up with this? 3 Ds, 3 Es, and what?
3 Vs.
3 Vs.
And maybe 4 O's. I was thinking about it one day when I created it. I was thinking like someone saying Devo.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's really not it. But okay.
Devo. Let me see.
Devo. You did now. You also went with the frost on the top here too, right?
I did, yeah.
You're styling a profile. Well, when you finish fourth in rookie of the year and you're an all-star now, man, you've got a World Series trophy. Dude, you've done more in your career already than like 90% of the guys in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I feel like there's always more to accomplish. You know, just, you know, what I've done is, you know, that's in the past, and, you know, now we're looking forward to this year, and, you know, it's time to rock and roll.
Was there a pinch myself moment for you this off season? I can't believe it.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, when I started throwing again, you know, and I realized, you know, everything that went down and, you know, what we accomplished as a team. You know, something I'm sure everybody in that clubhouse we've dreamed of, you know, since, you know, could start dreaming, you know, when I was a little kid. And, you know, and it was – it's real, man. It's,
yeah.
It's real stuff. And, you know, it's something I'll never forget. But, you know, now it's time to go back to back.
62 appearances last year. Was that too much?
No.
No? You want more?
Yeah. I want to do, you know, as much as I can.
What do you – so I went back and looked at – I mean, you had a great finish to 2016, and last year the postseason was tough because yeah. – but I mean, those were good hitting teams. But what do you think – I mean, that wasn't you. The postseason is the outlier for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially like that in the postseason, you're facing a team, you know, they see you every day. You know, they see your stuff, and you got to make adjustments on the fly, and you got to be quick with that. And, you know, something that I was doing. And, you know, even coming down to – you know, I think it was game five. I gave up that home run to Puig, and, you know, game seven, you know, I faced him to get one out. And I think, you know, there was a big adjustment in that at bat, you know, just previously facing him and what he hit off of me and what I saw he was trying to do, you know, diving out over the plate, trying to get my changeup. And, you know, I realized, you know, I got to throw in here. I got to throw a fastball in, and, you know, was able to get that out. And so, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I got to, you know, I go out there every time trying to prove myself anyway. So, you know, whatever happened, you know, in the postseason happened. And, you know, I know what kind of pitcher I am and what I bring to the table. So, you know, I'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Chris Devenski with us here on ESPN 97.5, All-Star World Series champion last year. And even when you struggled, what we noticed a lot of things. But you got that walk in the dugout. Do you know your walk? Do you understand how badass your walk is?
I mean, people tell me, but. You know, I'm doing my thing.
That's
man.
Where'd you pick that walk up?
Probably when I was a kid.
When you were
a
kid,
walking through all the alleys with the boys. You know, yeah. No, but you know, it's just it's part of me and you know who I am and you know can't change that.
No, you ain't gonna change that, are you?
No.
Hey, Chris Devenski, he's got to go. Gene is telling me that you got to go. What are you gonna do today?
What part of New Mexico are you from?
I got my first live BP today, so I'm excited to get out there and you know face some hitters.
Yeah, that's your first live today.
Yeah, first live.
Well, we'll let you go. What'd you want, Lance?
So Devo's from Albuquerque. Was he a big?
I'm from Santa Ana.
Why are you trying to? Adele's giving me the wrong information. That could get me shot in here in New Mexico. What's wrong with you? So were you a Johnny Tapia fan, a boxing fan? You had to be with all those Albuquerque fighters, maybe MMA.
No. I'm a Rocky Balboa fan. You the day I die.
So you go old school boxing, exactly. As in movies.
That is old school. Yeah. That is old school. We'll let you go, man. Okay. Continued success.
Thank
go kick ass again this year, man. Great stuff. Great watching you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Chris Devenski right here on ESPN 97.5. Good stuff. Good stuff, Devo. Go get him. All right, I got to take a break here. We're going to talk about Trailer Wheel and Frame. Trailerwheel.com. There's only one place for you, my friends, to get out to and get your trailer on. Get your all of your parts, get all of your accessories, get everything that you need for that trailer at one spot. At 8222 I-45 North, that's the Canino exit. Go to trailerwheel.com and see for yourself. The Ranch King trailer with a 100-year warranty on that composite flooring, 100-year warranty. You know, it's funny. I was walking up here at the ballpark. They've got composite flooring outside on the concourse here. And I'm like, I hope this has a 100-year warranty. I hope this park has a 100-year warranty because then it would be like the Ranch King trailer. Okay, at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Plus, a lifetime warranty on the frame for the Ranch King. If you haven't seen the Ranch King trailer, you got to. If you're looking for a trailer, check it out. They make it themselves at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Trailerwheel.com, trailerwheel.com. 8222 I-45 North Canino Exit, trailerwheel.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State.
We're Texas. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Lance Zierlein. And live from Astro Spring Training in West Palm Beach in Florida, presented by Texas Citizens Bank, here's John Granato.
Welcome back live from West Palm Beach. John and Lance here with you on ESPN 97.5. And you can hear me on the string. What? Lance is into it today.
So, I love this song.
I know. It's one of the all-time greats. So, Dell, what button did you push to fix the stream?
I didn't fix the stream at all. It has something to do with the system out there. Once you reset it, I had to reset something in here, and then we're good.
Yeah, so you had to reset it in there.
No, it has to be done out there, too. We have to both do it.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, you Gilbert? No. We have to reset it. Both of us have to do it to make it work.
Oh, yeah, sure. Both of us have to do it. Whatever. People missed the early part of the show.
The first 6 minutes were amazing.
Podcastarena.com. Podcastarena.com. And then just pull up the first 6 minutes of John.
Diva was an all-star last year. He had a tremendous
Diva
run.
Was awesome last year.
Second half, toward the end, like pretty much all the pitchers, he slowed down in a bullpen, we know, in the postseason.
Well, his September was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
His September was really good last year.
I know. Yeah, you know what? That's right. Yeah, that's right. He did, because that's when they were making their big push was in September, and everything was clicking then. We know what happened in the postseason. No reason to linger. I just feel like that's really lingering on that after a World Series feels a little disingenuous. Like you forget the whole year and you forget the greatest thing that's ever happened in Astros baseball history.
Well, I'm sure that's what Ken Giles thinks of too. But you know what? He had a 2-3-0 last year. And Devo had himself Devo was what, 2.568. His September he was .90.
No, he had a really good.
September was 3.38. August was .90.
Oh, it was August.
August was .90.
Well, he was one of the ones because that was a hang on. That was a hang on for dear life month. You remember that?
Yeah, no, that was after the All-Star. That was late July and early – late July, early August. But then they got it together about mid-August.
Do people remember that it looked highly unlikely that the Astros are going to have any chance in the postseason in August?
Oh, no.
Trade deadline, it looked bleak.
Yeah.
No McCullers, no Keuchel. Keuchel came back, no trade deadline move. It looked exceedingly bleak. You also had the injuries to Correa. Like – I don't know if people remember how bleak it looked at one point. I remember being I was in Indianapolis studying at their camp, and it was right at trade deadline. And you know, Chris Ballard is a Astros fan. He grew up here, so he's an Astros fan. We were talking about no trade deadline deals being made, and it was just like such a bummer for both of us because the thought was, man, this amazing season is going out with a whimper because of all these injuries, and now they got no help at the trade deadline. And it's so crystal clear that day thinking, oh my gosh, so many good months, and then this is what's happening. And then all of a sudden, injured guy comes back, Verlander goes in a straight Randy Johnson mode, and then here's Correa back, and it's like, ooh. This has the feeling like we've seen in other sports, including the Rockets, although they came from a 6 seed, so that's different. But you know, I had one of those feelings where right team getting hot at right time, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, Verlander changed everything.
But it is true though but at the same time, Altuve got red hot in one series. You had Springer get hot in another series, you had the pitching staff pick it up in 1-2-6-7. But yeah, you're right. Verlander was.
He changed the whole attitude of the world. Okay. Not just that locker room, not just the city.
Well,
he changed the whole attitude of the world.
Feels,
all right?
feels big, but okay.
Well, no, everybody changed their attitude about everything after that. Okay. people just loved their lives as soon as he became an Astro.
This is what's great and what's scary. It really did crystallize last year, watching the hometown team do it, something we've already known. But with a baseball season at 162 games, you can be great for whenever you want to be great for. You can be bad for whenever you want to be bad for. The only thing that really matters, provided that you handle your business enough in the postseason, is who gets hot at the right time. It's really about timing. It's just about timing. And some teams have tremendous timing, and some teams don't. And last year you could feel it. Talent combined with some hot streaks, and here we were. You know, the ability to come back in the postseason. I mean, their nuts were so huge. To have that many clutch plays was the most anti-Astros in the playoffs thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, oh, no big deal. I'll just go yard on Jansen. No big deal. I'll just take Sale out of the yard. No big deal. We'll just take Kimbrel out of the yard. No big deal. We'll just ruin Clayton Kershaw. Like, the ruining of amazing pitchers is simply doesn't happen by the Astros in postseason. That never existed until last year.
We were talking about it last night. The Astros had a media dinner. We all went there over to Yard House, had a nice dinner, and I was sitting by Gene Diaz, who, you know, we were talking about that very thing. It was just simply, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it, that the gigantic nuts that this team had. And, you know, and back then I was doing, back in the day, 90s, in the late 90s and early 2000s, I was doing the pre and post and just in that locker room, just asking everybody, well, what's the deal? Well, it's Maddox. Well, it's Glavin. It's Smoltz. You know, you just can't get by those guys. Those guys are so, yeah, it's Kevin Brown.
Yeah, it's Sterling Hitchcock.
What? You know, how are you not going to strike out 13 times against Sterling Hitchcock?
And yet the Braves didn't win six, seven, eight World Series. Other people, just like you said on the radio at the time, well, other people beat them.
Yep.
Other people beating these guys. And that's how this Astros team, it wasn't, those Astros teams, there was something to be said about, it felt like a lot of, it felt like they had excuses ready in their mind and it affected their play. It's like, it just lacked confidence. It just, oh boy, these guys are really good. They get paid to get people out too, guys. Because that was actually an answer I think Bagwell gave. Hey, they get paid too. Well, I don't care if they get paid. What do you mean they get paid too? You get paid to hit.
Hey, they play golf every day too. Okay?
I mean.
And they did. Those guys played golf every day too.
Who?
The Braves pitching staff.
Smoltz. Well, when they weren't pitching.
When they weren't pitching. Yeah. Well, yeah, but the Astros, Lima was playing 36 the night he was pitching. Okay?
Lima didn't pitch a whole lot in the postseason. He let you know about it too.
Yeah, okay. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
Are you going to have more interviews today, do you know? Or they have to get
I'm
going?
Not sure that we're going to. We've got, I did interview Charlie Morton. And good, neat. This dude, we were talking about him.
Send it in.
I sent it to Del already. Okay. We'll play it sometime during the show. He is he's an extremely thoughtful guy. He is. And at some time, see, he's a difficult interview because you're not sure when he's done, and you pull the mic away, and they go, oh, wait, whoop, whoop.
Is that what it sounded like?
Well, no. I mean, there are long pauses. He is, but he's really, really good. He's very thoughtful, and I mean, he's a neat guy. And everybody was saying that. Last night we were talking about Charlie, and it was Charlie Bleepin' Morton is something. He is really something, and he's a cool guy, so... Yeah, keep on listening. We'll play that a little bit later in the show. What do we got here, Dale?
We got a break.
All right, cool. Take a break. We'll be back right here live at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank, right here on ESPN 97.5. We never even touched the gas.
Oh. Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Lance Zierlein. And live from Astros Spring Training in West Palm Beach in Florida, presented by Texas Citizens Bank, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell. Raheel will join us in about an hour and a half here on ESPN 97.5. So we got that going on. Jim Crane will not be here today. He was going to stop by. So we wanted to hear from him. He's not going to be in this morning. He's probably going to the Floridian to play golf, and I wouldn't blame him. Yesterday was a little windy for golf, Lance, so that was a problem. Today looks like it's a much better day for golf.
Do you want to add your condolences?
I'm all broken up about the fact that there was some wind out there. Mm-hmm. You couldn't compete in some random sport because there was some wind.
Oh, look, Jim's going to call in. Maybe he's not on the golf course, or maybe he'll call between holes. Maybe that would be the case. So that's cool. That's awesome.
Hold on, John. I've got a putt. No, put the phone down. Hold on, John. Let me putt real quick. Okay, Jim. No problem. Guys are just waiting here. Jim Crane's about to putt.
Jim Crane.
Get your questions in.
Not going to call in between putts.
3776. Okay. Had a question come in here. Well, first of all, your thoughts on Fergie feeling like she needed to issue a press release to apologize for her national anthem. I felt bad. Like, that's just so over the top that this is where we are now, where social media creates so much buzz about something. It takes something that's a 2 and turns it into a 10. I mean, is there something out there that Fergie disrespected the national anthem? Is that out there? This is just like her apologizing for not doing it as well as everyone wanted.
So she had to
issue a press release to apologize?
Oh, my God. Well, I guess disrespecting the national anthem today is like as bad as I don't know. But I didn't think if she was trying her best and she tried something different, she tried to do it like Marilyn Monroe or.
Well, I think she did. She alluded to the Marvin Gaye's edition, which was at the Forum. Because Marvin Gaye's edition was at the Forum. This one was at Staples Center. And it fell flat. She didn't do it great. I don't think it warranted a press release. It's just move on to the next thing. Like today will officially be like the last day, and then there will be remnants of Fergie, and social media will go try to hang somebody and Twitter. But what do they call it? It's trial by Twitter. Trial by Twitter. And so they'll move on to something else. But I don't know. Seems like a little much for her to have to apologize.
But she'll forever have that in her Twitter resume.
Well, you know when you sing a national anthem, you could either Whitney Houston it and John Granato it, which means hit it out of the ballpark, or you could go Carl Lewis.
Is that what you called what John did? Out of the ballpark?
Yeah. Home run.
Huh.
That's what you call hitting it out of the park.
That sing song. I don't even know what it
can you
it
see
wasn't even
by
singing.
The dawn's early
no, you
light.
Gotta start lower. Otherwise, when you get to the high
good
part,
point.
You can't hit.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, back down there.
Look, I love the national anthem like everyone else, Dell, but I like it to move quickly because I've got to sit down and eat my chicken wings that are there from the media.
I think people who sing the national anthem should understand that people are down on one knee and they should realize that that could hurt. So you need to move it along as quickly as possible.
to be aware.
Aware of all the people on the knee and move it along.
Did you see the meme that has Colin Kaepernick stood up and said Fergie was disrespecting the anthem?
Even Colin thinks it's disrespectful.
I was like, all right, this has gone too far. Leave Fergie alone. Her lovely lady lumps or her humps or whatever the song is. my son goes, why did she even – my son goes, why did the lady Fergie even sing it? She used to be real big back in the day, right? I said, yeah, back in the day when she was with the Black Eyed Peas, Fergie was bigger back in the day. Yes.
Yeah, she was big.
Yeah, she was bigger she was back big. In the day.
No, it's forever. That's on her resume. There's nothing. Carl Lewis has got it on his resume. Roseanne's got it on her resume. I've got it on my resume. It's just – it's something. I mean, you've got – of course, mine is a little different than all of theirs in that it was awesome.
It was great. It was expedited version.
Yep.
Oh, see, can you see by the dawn's early light? Boom, 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 over.
I did the Cliff Notes version.
But you got all the words in.
I got them all in.
You got all the words in.
The Evelyn Wood version, okay?
Hey,
Speed singing.
We had two questions coming about football. One, Jack Pockets says, do you think the Texans would consider buying a second-round pick since we have the cap space, i.e. Osweiler Browns trade? Well, no, because the Browns took on a terrible contract for a year because they had space. The Texans, the only teams that have ever done that are NBA teams and the Browns. And the Browns are a known tanker. They won zero games. So, no, I don't think the Texans are going to follow the Browns mode. The Texans will actually do what every team in NFL history ever has done, use their cap space to actually get players for their roster who will play. So they're not going to buy a second-round pick by basically eating cap space with nothing and not filling other needs. They have higher hopes than winning zero. So that's the answer to that one. And the other one was, would Marcus Peters, would the Texans consider him? I think the Texans would have a conversation, but if you don't even have a second rounder, you're not even – I mean, they're not packaging two-thirds for Marcus Peters, who's going to get paid a lot of money and who, frankly, has always been a little volatile, dating back to college where he got kicked off the team by Chris Peterson in Washington.
Not classy, not Texans worthy. That's the key to that, to Marcus Peters. Not classy. So,
do you think Nair is even going to be doing anything next year?
What's the market for Peters?
I think the market would be probably a second. I mean, we're talking about one of the premier ball hawks in the league, one of the top four corners in the league. I would think it starts at a second.
Don't you think? Well, Phillip Buchanan was worth a second and a third.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, Marcus, that feels like, you know, quarterback type of trade, but I don't know what his going rate would be. But
so as good as he is, that they want to get rid of him?
That's my point exactly. If Marcus Peters does this, they've had him for 3 years now, and he's this kind of ball hawk, and they're looking to potentially move him, that's what Pro Football Talk Mike Florio has. Why? That's got to be a red flag right off the bat for you.
Yeah. I mean, good luck. Stop already. Do not do that. Do not do that.
He's a good football player, but come on.
Let's take a break because we are going to we're going to have Jim Crane at the top of the hour. And then the next segment, I want to talk about this six visits to the mound. We're the only people that have Dallas Keuchel talking about it. So I asked Keuchel about it yesterday. So we'll have that on the other side right here live from the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Lance Zierlein. And live from Astros Spring Training in West Palm Beach in Florida, presented by Texas Citizens Bank, here's John Granato.
Welcome back. Live, as the man told you. Brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. We appreciate you. Jim Crane going to join us at the top of the hour, talk about what he told his team yesterday as we head into the 2018 season, a season of defending, going to defend their title. Actually, it's really not defending since it's a different team, so it's kind of different. But he is awesome. Jim Crane joining us right now. I am at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches. He is not. He was going to come in today, but I would hope that he is going to enjoy this beautiful weather and play the Floridian this morning. It's a little windy out there, though, Jim. I don't know. Can you, especially coming in 8 to 18, those gale force winds are awfully difficult on 18. Am I right?
They can hinder a good shot, but you got to keep it low, John.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to do that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Everybody wants us to talk about golf. I mean, they clamor for it, Mr. Crane, after you are on. So I want to hear about your rounds at Pebble and Justin Verlander playing with him last week at Pebble. How was it?
It was fun. I played with Jimmy Walker. He paired with Russell Knox. And actually, Justin hits a long way. I think he can hit it by just Dustin Johnson. He drove a bunch of par fours. He can hit about 340. It often doesn't go exactly where he's aiming, but he played really well and made the cut and actually finished third, I think, which is really hard. I think Larry Fitzgerald won the pro member, but they played really well together. He ham and egged it with him, and if he'd make a birdie, his pro make a bogey and vice versa, and so they played good. Walker and I didn't play as well, so we didn't make the cut, but there's always next year.
It was neat, too, to be able to bond with him, get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, listen, you get three rounds out there. They're really slow, and, you know, they're five-and-a-half-hour rounds, so you got to have a lot of talking going on, so you got to get a lot of information. So if you don't know them by the end of that day, after 5 hours, you're not going to know them.
And 3 days of that, too, a good 15 hours. You hope that he's a good guy, because otherwise that's a long three rounds.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. He was nice enough to sign a bunch of stuff for he had a pretty big following out there. And so, they get a lot of people following him wanting autographs. So when he had time, he'd accommodate him or at the end. And, you know, he was good with the fans. He worked in the shootout. And, you know, we got a lot of press out there. We got the trophy out there and got a lot of recognition out there in California for us Houston Astros.
Jim Crane with us here. He is in Florida. We are in Florida, and it's brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank right here on ESPN 97.5. So having a full year of him, picking up Garrett Cole, you know, heck, what do you do? We had Jeff Luno on yesterday. You got Colin McHugh and Brad Peacock in the bullpen right now. That's what the thought is. It's so wealthy. You guys are so wealthy pitching-wise right now, but you always need more pitching, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a high-class problem. As you know, through the year, you're going to have some injuries and some setbacks. And, last year, a lot of our frontline guys got a little dinged up, got back in there. But everybody will pitch in and get used throughout the year. So having that many good pitchers is a blessing. And, they'll work their way into the lineup. And, you know, we got some backup, and it's a good problem to have.
Absolutely. So you addressed the team yesterday, and the message, as we understand it, was let's not live on our laurels?
Yeah, I mean, I gave them a freight reference. You know, when somebody ships them, I send the invoice, you know, I got to get another shipment. So I kind of referenced it. Listen, we're not, you know, we're only as good as yesterday. So, you know, that was a great year, a great run. We congratulated everybody for all their efforts and, you know, all the attention. The guys have handled it all really well and worked well with the fans. And we said, you know, now we're here. That's over. Great to have, you know, on our resume, and great for the city, great for the fans to finally win one. Now let's get focused on the new year and prove that we won't, you know, kind of lay back a little bit like the Cubs got kind of full of themselves. And we'll just push forward and hopefully get off to a good start and get in the playoffs. That was the message.
Jim Crane here with us on ESPN 97.5. So we're getting close. We're closing in. First of all, an earlier spring training. You start the games already this week. Do you like the way that the schedule is starting a little bit earlier and finishing in September and not October? Do you like the way the schedule shaped up?
Yeah, I think it's better to get an early start. The season gets, you know, it's long no matter what. I mean, it's a really long season for these guys, and, you know, running all the way 18 games in the playoffs made for a short break. But, you know, what was impressive about a lot of the guys, you know, like the old days, those guys would kind of shut down and not start working out till they got here. These guys all come in shape, and they've been working out, and a lot of them have been on the property for 2 or 3 weeks using the facilities. So I think, you know, everybody's ready and, you know, moving it up a little bit and getting it, you know, out of the fall, you know, out of November is helpful for everybody.
A lot of Thursdays off this year. I would think the Thursday is a better gate day than usually. You know, it's Mondays and Thursdays that you get off, but you guys got a lot of Thursdays off. Wouldn't that be a better gate day than Mondays?
Yeah, Mondays are tough because kids are usually in school and everybody's unwinding from the weekend. So Monday night, you know, you don't get a lot of people in any of the ballparks around the country. But, you know, the schedules are tough no matter what. You know, even in the off days, you know, I would bet to say if they're not home that they're traveling on that off day. So it's, you know, having watched the schedule for a number of years now, you know, it's really, really a grind for these guys. You know, again, even when they get an off day, I'd say 60 or 70% of the time they're on an airplane getting to another city to get ready to play. So it's a tough schedule. You know, Mondays would be better, but we'll live with what we got.
A lot of nationally, I was sitting with Anita and Julia last night, and Gene Diaz and Anita Sengal and we were talking about the schedule, and all, man, this team is just, I think, the, you know, as fun as it was, as great as the postseason was, I think obviously ESPN and Fox, they really like this team. A lot of nationally televised games this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get the attention finally. We didn't, you know, we were like the stepchild in baseball for a long time, so getting those primetime games, it's good for our fans and good for the recognition in the country. And, you know, when you really think about it, last year, the team, you know, if you didn't live in L.A. or Boston or New York, we kind of had, you know, the spark and the chemistry there, and they could see that with our guys in the games. And I think most of the country was kind of rooting for us as things progressed through the season and the offseason.
Jim Crane with us on ESPN 97.5. Business-wise, did the offseason go as expected?
On the baseball?
Yeah. Season ticket sales and, well, obviously the merchandise has blown up, no?
Yeah, the merchandise went crazy. I mean, in the playoff run, we sold as much merchandise as we did the full season. So it was crazy. Everybody wanted a little memorabilia. And it's continuing. I mean, we're gonna give out the rings the second night of the season, and we're actually gonna have a shop with Justin's helping to do pendants and, you know, secondary rings and a lot of cool stuff that the fans will be able to buy. It's very similar to the big ring that the guys on the team will get. So, you know, and stuff for the ladies, and cufflinks, and a lot of cool Astro stuff commemorating the World Series. So we're looking forward to that, too.
You know, Robert Kraft did 283 diamonds because they were up 28-3 on the Falcons. So he did 283 diamonds. Is there anything significant on the rings about this run for you guys?
Well, the couple of the mottos, the Houston, you know, Houston Strong, you know, that emblem on the player's jersey was big throughout the playoffs, I think kind of sparked the team. You know, that's on it. Earned history is, you know, one of our mottos, and we started that theme, you know, earn it early on in the season, and it just kept, you know, moving it to, you know, earn history, and then, you know, then finally earned it. So that's on there. There's some cool stuff on there. It's a really nice ring, but I don't know if we got 283 diamonds on there. I might go broke, but that's a high class problem.
Well, when you get your fifth one like he's got, then you can go 283 diamonds.
Well, if we get there, we can do something very special, I assure you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. One of the themes in the locker room yesterday, I went down there after, and one of the themes was, you know, the management hasn't stopped. I mean, going out and get Cole and Rondon and Smith, and, you know, and there was talk about Real Muto and stuff like that. That you guys, the management said, you know, this is not enough. And I think that you feel it with the ball players as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're constantly, Jeff's team is very bright on really analyzing, you know, continually analyzing where we might have a flaw or two. You know, and so, you know, we knew you always need more pitching. Our bullpen, you know, needed a little help. And so they went out and got that fixed. And then, you know, adding another big starter, the opportunity was there. And, you know, the way they crafted that deal, we did give up some talent, but it was also because we were able to do that with Colin Moran and the other couple of guys was simply because we had the depth in the system. Colin Moran probably starts on most teams, And we were so deep at third base, you're not going to not see a lot of change there anytime soon with where we're at right now. And so when you have that kind of depth in your system, you can trade that for something you need that can hopefully have some big impact on the big team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, we'll let you go. You're going to tee it up
today? All right, guys.
Today?
Well, we'll see you and have a nice spring down here. The weather's great down here. We need all the fans to come down and watch a couple games. It's a beautiful ballpark, and it's in great shape. So we'll see you down here at spring training.
Beautiful. It really is. I'm looking at the scoreboard right now. I'm at the field right now up in the press box. It can't be prettier. Just awesome, awesome. Mr. Kramer, appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
All right, take care.
All right, Jim Crane right here. On ESPN 97.5, talking a little baseball with the owner. Hey, you know what, dude?
We are your hometown. We are your home for Houston Astros owner. He likes this show better than other shows.
I've never heard him on another show.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I had him in studio once. He's good to talk to. He's interesting because after Drayton's huckster routine that I got so tired of. It was just nice to have an owner who, like, yeah, there's a plan. Just be patient. It's going to be fine. We're going to be like, well, what can we do? Can we do some kind of night where we throw salt and pepper all over people? And just, what do we do? Do we have a blanket? Can we have a blanket with Craig Biggio's feet on it? What kind of charlatan huckster stuff can we do to try to trick people into the park? Like, well, here's an idea, Drayton. Get players. Sign draft picks and get real players in and win games.
I'm pretty sure every Monday at 8:30 was the Charlatan Huckster meeting. He just wanted huckster ideas from his staff.
What do we have here? Tony, what's your huckster idea? Well, I was thinking that maybe we could put implant, you know how they put pictures of children, little babies on cookies over a dessert gallery? Yeah. Let's put Craig Biggio's face on a cabbage head, on red cabbage, and then maybe you could sell that or sell it at the ballpark.
We
red
call
cabbage.
It Biggio Cabbage Head Night.
Yeah, I love that idea. First 5,000 people get a bite.
On Sheriff Blaylock's nachos, Craig Biggio's face on every nacho.
What other sheriffs can we give nachos to? That'll get people in. Like, no, let's just sign draft picks. No, people don't care about draft picks. They care about celebrity ducks and towels and bats. Well, or let's get like a Correa type or pitchers who pitch good. Let's build a minor league system. No. Y'all got any kind of scribble this idea down. Double Dutch night. I saw this on a that's going to get the African Americans in on the Double Dutch. Like, no, it's not, Drayton.
No, it's not.
Get players.
Well, Mr. McClain, the Rockets are currently having a promotion where they put Mookie Norris's face on a duck. Is that something we can do here?
I love that. Let's put Lance Burk Duck. Let's do a Burk Duck. Let's get rid of some of these older players making too much money.
Let's give Carlos Lee $100 million.
This is going to firmly establish us in the Hispanic market now with Carlos Lee.
Do you know his name is El Caballo?
El Caballo. He is the horse of no name. I think that means in Spanish. Let's just get young players who we have, you know, the ability to build and then have team control. And do real baseball stuff instead of all this charlatan huckster stuff, instead of your Tuesday meetings, Drayton. Hey, I want to tell you about something. Sometime I like to be a huckster when I'm sitting on a bluff at Prime Social, and I'm like, oh, I hope I can huckster my way out of this one. I'm going to have to bet into this pretty heavy to try to sell my position. That's just the move that I have to make sometimes when I'm in a tournament or in a cash game. 1 and 3, that's the really friendly game. One is one. When I say 1 and 3, I mean small blind is $1, big blind is $3. And it really is, they really are friendly cash games. You can sit down with $200, $300 and just play. And you can end up playing for hours and hours and hours. You can turn into a lot longer than that if you want to. Prime Social says, come on out and get involved in some cash games. They've got Omaha games. They've got No Limit games. They want you to bring your neighborhood game. Bring it into Prime Social. They've got half price called halfies, the half price seat fee. And if you want to find out how is this poker legal?
Well, you can go online. You can certainly go talk to them. It's a social club. You pay one fee for the entire year, and you are now part of a member of that club. Wouldn't it be great to go and play on real felt with real dealers, with an unbelievably beautiful atmosphere, 20 card tables, 29 televisions, a fully staffed bar and restaurant inside? And I think you're going to absolutely love it. The atmosphere is fantastic, and there's cash games going on. There are tournaments going on every single day, and huge tournaments on Saturdays and Sundays. So make sure that you go to the website for the latest and greatest information at primesocialtx.com. You can also sign up for text alerts as well to let you know when big tournaments are happening and underway. Take your neighborhood game into Prime Social, park it there, and let them be your new home. And go enjoy a little friendly game of poker and maybe make yourself a little money at PrimeSocialTX.com. 7801 Westheimer between Hillcroft and Dunvale.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.